It is 4 minutes after 8 o'clock. You are listening to The Morning Magazine. It is Friday, August 19, 2022. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. I am your host, Rosanna Longo-Better. Coming up on today's program, we will hear about the healthy school meals for all ballot measure. After that, we'll learn about an open house at Front Range Community College in Longmont. Finally, we will have a live sports talk today. BBC update at 8:30, and then connections will come your way and our phones will be open to answer your calls. And at 9:30, the morning sound alternative will bring you 2.5 hours of eclectic music until noon. And that's all still ahead. But first, these local and regional headlines with KGNU's Chiara Di Mare.
The American Civil Liberties Union and 12 ACLU state affiliates filed a brief urging the Supreme Court to uphold the Indian Child Welfare Act on Thursday. Congress passed the act in 1978 after it was proven that Native American children were being taken away from their homes at a disproportionate rate. The act pushes for protocol to protect Native American children from removal from their families, tribes, and tribal culture. According to a press release, the act requires state courts to make efforts to keep Native children with their families. The law aims to prioritize the placement of Native children within their extended families or tribal communities, where their cultural identities will be understood and celebrated, the press release read. The City of Boulder Planning Commission has decided to hold off on making a decision about renewing mining permits for CMEX Mining, a Mexican-owned cement manufacturing plant near Lyons. The decision came late Thursday night after hours of public testimony from community members, environmental advocates, and CMEX representatives. According to the Daily Camera, CMEX operates 10 plants and 50 cement terminals across the U.S. Their plant just outside of Lyons is the second worst polluter in the state. Earlier this summer, community members were outraged when Boulder's Planning Commission approved a plan to extend their mining permits in Boulder County for another 15 years in exchange for a promise that at the end of the 15 years they would stop mining and give their land to Boulder Open Space. Without permits from the city, CMEX will close its plants when permits expire later this year. Boulder County appointed their first director of the Office of Racial Equity on Tuesday. According to the Daily Camera, Carrie Inoshita was selected, and the process for hiring her began last August when county commissioners approved the funding for the Centralized Office of Racial Equity. The Daily Camera wrote, "In addition to the director's role, the Office of Racial Equity staff includes Cecilia Jones and Courtney Persmack, who have previously worked with Inoshita on many of the county's racial equity initiatives. Inoshita told the camera that she believes in order to improve racial equity, we must figure out where racism is coming from, and that the root is the racist policies and procedures that govern society. She and her team will focus on developing and implementing strategies to create a more inclusive, anti-racist city environment that helps investigate and dismantle institutionalized racism." The same Loveland-based gun club that sued Superior is now suing Boulder, Boulder County, and Louisville over their local gun restrictions. This comes after a judge ruled in favor of the gun club when they sued Superior over their citywide gun restrictions. The Boulder County Board of Commissions passed 5 ordinances to limit the sale of guns in the county earlier this summer. One of these ordinances banned the sale of assault weapons. Magazine capacity and trigger activators have also seen tighter restrictions. The second lawsuit against Boulder names Rocky Mountain Gun Owners, the same group that sued Superior and James Michael Jones as the plaintiffs, and the City of Boulder as a defendant. The final lawsuit against Boulder County lists the Boulder County Commissioners as defendants and Martin Carter Kehoe as a plaintiff alongside Rocky Mountain Gun Owners. The Rocky Mountain Gun Ownership Group has announced it will take any county attempting to implement more gun control. Garfield County officials aren't convinced that developing Sweetwater Lake north of D'Estero into Colorado's newest state park is in compliance with state law. As Caroline Yanis reports for Aspen Public Radio and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, commissioners approved letters to Colorado Parks and Wildlife and Great Outdoors Colorado to get some questions answered.
During Monday's meeting, county commissioners approved a letter to Colorado Parks and Wildlife asking if the agency had done due diligence in cooperating with the county. Commissioners reiterated sentiments they've expressed since the announcement of Sweetwater as a state park, that the process was rushed and not entirely above board. Mike Sampson says residents of the Sweetwater area and county officials were misled.
We need to just stop, back up, and if possible, start over, because this was a botched endeavor from the beginning. It was not done properly.
Chair of the board, John Martin, questioned whether the action by the U.S. Forest Service and CPW was constitutional. The board is also requesting information from the nonprofit Great Outdoors Colorado regarding financial assistance they provided in purchasing the land. Caroline Yanez, Aspen Public Radio News.
This Saturday, around 50 cyclists will bike in support of a nonprofit cross-purpose during the Triple Bypass bike race. The race will be a 110-mile ride that starts at 6 a.m. in Evergreen near the Buchanan Recreation Center and ends in Vail. We can expect more rain showers across the Front Range today. In Boulder, there's a high of 81 and a low of 60. In Denver, a high of 83 and a low of 61. And in Fort Collins, a high of 84 and a low of 55. For KGNU, I'm Chiara Damari.
This November, voters will weigh in on a ballot measure to fund universal school meals for public school students in Colorado. The funding for the so-called Healthy Schools Meals for All measure will come via a limit on tax deductions for wealthy Coloradans. Alexis Kenyon reports.
For the past 2 years, the federal government has funded universal free school meals at public schools nationwide. As the pandemic devastated millions of families, the federal government stepped in and waived fees for the school lunch programs. Ashley Whelan, the director of Hunger Free Colorado, says when schools started offering free meals to everyone, they realized just how many kids weren't being fed.
We saw so many more students participate this last year. And I think food is as important as any other resource in school, like books. We shouldn't be differentiating out at 6 years old about who should be able to get a free meal and who shouldn't.
This school year, Colorado students are returning to a pre-pandemic lunch program, which means kids have to fill out paperwork proving their families make under the state's poverty threshold in order to qualify. Whelan says with inflation and cost of living, the threshold doesn't reflect need, and that $100 per kid extra a month for school lunches, for thousands of families, it's more than they can afford.
It means, you know, paying the electric bill. It means paying for groceries at home. It means helping pay that rent or that mortgage. You know, it's so expensive. Housing in Colorado is soaring. The costs of it are soaring. And it's really, and then, you know, for a lot of those students, this is the only good meal they get a day.
Xander Cashew, a kitchen manager at Jefferson County Schools and president of the Food Service Association at Jeffco, says he thinks reverting to the income-qualified lunch system is a step backward.
Clicks form because some kids are bringing all their food from home, and some kids have to rely on the free food from school. There have been times in my school when certain groups or certain kids have been bullied.
Have you ever had to turn down a kid who wanted lunch and couldn't buy it?
Yes, I have to. Yeah, I'm told to. So yeah, that happens. It's not a rarity.
What is that like?
It's gut-wrenching. It's heartbreaking. It really is. Why can't we just give them food? And it's hard. It's a really hard line to try and tiptoe.
The Healthy School Meals for All campaign would make free meals permanent for all public school kids in Colorado by giving a sliver of wealthy Coloradans, people making over $300,000 a year, a little less of a discount on their taxes. For those people, rather than being allowed to write off $30,000 for things like charitable donations, the state would limit that deduction to $13,000. The difference would fund meals for about 60,000 Colorado public school students, and the cost to the wealthy Coloradans paying for it would be less than a day's work. Here's Ashley Whelan again from Hunger Free Colorado.
For those who take standardized tax deductions, we think their tax liability is around $500 more. You look at the data, those who itemize are those who are really, really wealthy. So that's about, we estimate folks impacted, it's about 3% of Coloradans would be impacted in their taxes. And that's state tax deductions. It doesn't change the federal tax deductions. Some states don't have any allowance of state tax deductions.
A measure to make school meals free for all public school students was introduced during the most recent legislative session, and it stalled in the Senate Appropriations Committee. As with all public funding issues that involve taxes, in the state of Colorado, it has to be put up for a statewide public vote. And that's because of something called Tabor, or the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. Tabor, a law that passed in 1992, prevents any tax increases anywhere in Colorado, including ones that would only apply locally, without the consent of the majority of state voters. And Colorado has a history of aversion to tax hikes. Michael Fields of Advance Colorado Action, a conservative policy nonprofit, says while taxing people may sound like an easy solution, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
Our organization, Advance Colorado Action, is pushing for a tax cut against the what they call affordable housing measure, given that it's taking Tabor refunds, but just throwing out some of these concerns about this specific, you know, meals ballot issue too.
Field says one of his concerns is that a limit on tax deductions may really discourage charitable giving.
I just haven't seen a study to say how much will this actually impact nonprofit charitable giving, and is what they're doing more important than, you know, the half of the population that doesn't need these free lunches, right? Like, this is a huge step to say we need to make sure every single kid has free lunch, even if they aren't in those gaps or low income. So I think, you know, this isn't just that we're going to tax wealthier people. It could impact how much giving happens because of those write-offs.
I think that's a pretty weak argument against doing this.
Elliot Goldbaum is the director of fiscal policy at Colorado Fiscal Institute.
People don't solely give these charitable gifts for tax purposes. They give them for a variety of reasons. They give them because it's a cause they believe in. They give them because it's something that they feel like is the right thing to do with their money. And I think most people see through that. I think people see that rich people aren't going to stop giving money to charity because now we can pay for school meals. And I think that if people are interested in racial justice, in economic justice, then tax justice is really important too. And we need to look at ways to make sure that we are correcting some of those historical injustices that have taken place and not continuing to have a regressive racist tax code that really makes it so that Black and brown people are much more likely to pay higher tax rates than the rich.
Xander Kashub, the food service worker at Jeffco Public Schools, says healthy meals for all is really about values more than money.
When we switch to the free food, instead of asking them for money, I could ask them how their day went. And it's just a completely different attitude in a kitchen when you don't have to worry about money. I mean, kids see that. And kids, cooking for kids, cooking for anybody, says I see you and I care about you. And so, yeah, healthy school meals for all is really about supporting that success in everybody in our communities.
In the meantime, public school students whose families don't have incomes low enough to qualify for free and reduced lunch, they're back to paying for meals at school. If Colorado voters do approve the healthy school meals for all in November's election, the earliest it would take effect would be for the 2023-24 school year. For KGNU, I'm Alexis Kenyon.
I had the opportunity to stop by and visit Becky Chavez at the Front Range Community College in Longmont, and I learned more about the open house they are hosting this Saturday. We're going to listen to that interview.
So we are hosting a new student orientation this Saturday, and it's for new students to Front Range. And it is available to students who are at the different points in their college career, whether they're brand new to college or they're kind of started coming back to get back on track. And we have students are able to come in if they're able to RSVP, even better. You should check your student email. You probably have something in there if you're new to Front Range. But you're able to at 9 o'clock is a mixer where some faculty will be available for students to get to know, and they have some games and kind of like breaking the ice. Mm-hmm. And then we have some presentations to talk about paying for college, because that is always, there's always a question about that. in how to feel safe on campus and to take care of yourself. And that's FRCC Essentials at 10 o'clock. And at 11, our presentations on TRIO Student Support Services and really getting to know your strengths as a student coming to college. And then there is an opportunity to take a tour of campus throughout the events of New Student Orientation, as well as to stop by different resource tables, such as TRIO Student Support Services and the COSE Grant, to kind of learn more of how we can support you. And that's at the Boulder County campus in Longmont. And again, if you drop in, just say, Becky said I could go. But again, check your student email if you're a new student to Front Range to get the information to RSVP.
I'm speaking with Becky Chavez from Front Range Community College. The last question I have for you is about the LEADS program that you have. Please tell us about it.
Yeah, so here at the Boulder County campus in Longmont, we have the Latinx Excellence Achievement and Development Scholars Program. And we've graduated 8 cohorts of students, and those who participate in the program are able to receive a $1,000 scholarship for completing the program. It's divided between the fall semester and the spring semester, but we really encourage students to utilize or see their experiences as an asset into strengthening their leadership skills. And so we work with students who identify as Latinx. We've had students who are right out of high school and adult students coming together. So it's wonderful to see the generations learn from one another. But we partner with folks throughout Front Range Community College, and we make sure to bring in community partners so our students can see other Latinos in Boulder County as leaders in their community. We've had County Commissioner Marta Lochiman come in, Carmen Ramirez from the city of Longmont. We have had folks come in from CU Boulder to facilitate sessions, and from the others from the city of Longmont, to really create a community around our students so that they can see what they can do and become. And it's just amazing for them to really learn their story and to see how powerful their story is in connecting with other people, whether it's within their cohort or with other students at the college or with their professors or with community leaders. And so it's a number of the students, like I said, who've come back to Front Range to work for us have participated in this program. And it's a cycle of beauty and joy, and it's probably one of the things I'm most proud of that we've created here at our campus.
Fantastic. Final question. Why education is so needed today more than ever?
I think higher education gives folks experience, skills, and trainings that can't be taken away from them. It opens up a lot of doors of opportunity that maybe we're not always open to them. And we've seen whole families come through Front Range, parents with their kids come, and then their parents come, or aunts and uncles. And it's changing not only the lives of the students, but future generations to come. And it's also where students are able to, and I feel especially at community college, because our classes are smaller and our community is smaller, that students are able to find their voice and to be in a place and space where they realize their potential and somebody is taking the time to invest in them. And they become self-advocates for themselves and then for others. And so it's a place that in higher education is just a unique place where you have so many people from different generations and backgrounds who are there for you. We're here for the students. We don't do this work because we're going to make $1 million. We do this work because we want to be a part and have the honor of being a part of our students' lives and seeing them be successful and walking across the stage, whether it's because they've completed a certificate or because they've completed an associate's degree, and listening to them speak at commencement and share their story to inspire others. So I think education is just beautiful.
I hear they're going to try to do Sports Talk Live this week. Who signed off on that?
time now, like we always say, for Sports Talk. And this time, Jimmy Cirfos Sanchez is here in our studios to share with us what's going on with our local sports in the Front Range. Jimmy, tell us what's going on.
In our first ever live episode of Sports Talk with Jimmy, we have a very special Hall of Fame episode. We're going to talk about some Hall of Fame people. So if you know anything about football at all, you know the Jacksonville Jaguars are not very good at it in the NFL. So recently, Tony Boselli, one of their legends, was inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. He played from 1995 to 2001 and was inducted on August 6th. Now, he's the first ever Jaguar to get inducted in there. He is a four-time Pro Bowler. In his entire career, he only allowed 15 and a half sacks, which is pretty crazy. But what does that matter for right now? We're talking about Colorado sports, but he is from Boulder. The guy went to Fairview High School. He graduated in 1991, and he's thought to be the third Colorado native to be inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. Now, the funny story about that is that he wasn't even zoned for Fairview High School when he was growing up. He always wanted to play for him. In fact, it was his first ever dream. His dream wasn't playing in the NFL. It was to play for Fairview High School under Coach Sam Pagano. He ended up getting special permission from the district to go there and was the water boy for the team for a while and eventually worked his way up. And when he was on the freshman team, he played quarterback. Eventually, he got moved around to where he belonged. Head coach Sam Pagano is actually also in the Colorado Sports Hall of Fame for his high school coaching at Fairview High School.
He sounds like quite a player, but he isn't the only one you're talking about this week, right?
No. So University of Colorado has had a very exceptional track and field program for a long time now. And a large part of that is due to Mark Wetmore. So he just got inducted into the USTFCCA Hall of Fame. Now, that is a big acronym that stands for the United States Track, Field, and Cross Country Coaches Association Hall of Fame. Now, this guy has been here forever, and he's still here. He's been here since 95. He actually took jobs at Seton Hall and Barnards High School in New Jersey before coming into Boulder. He actually did it for a summer job before he started coaching full-time. He needed the money, and he really liked the money outside of his regular jobs that he would work during the summer. He's amassed a pretty crazy resume. So in his 30 years here at CU, he's won 8 national titles, 5 individual championships, 140 All-American honors. And before the CU left the Big 12 for the Pac-12, Wetmore was the winningest Big 12 coach in all sports. Now, those were just for cross country alone. So on the track side, he had over 100 individual conference titles and 2 team titles. His women athletes have won over 20 NCAA titles. And he's got athletes that have gone to the world championships. He's got athletes that have gone to win Olympic medals. He's kind of had a crazy career. That's what he's got.
Wow. It's a lot. So fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today in this live sports talk. That's all the time we have this morning. Special thanks to Chiara Di Mare, Jimmy Cirfo Sanchez, Alexis Canyons for all their contributions to today's program. Stay tuned for Connections with Joel. Come here, Joel. We are live.
Wow, live radio here on KGMU. Stay tuned. We are going to go to BBC, but after that, it will be Connections with Liz Lane and Jim Banks.
Yeah, it's so fantastic.
Our topic this morning, give the Biden-Harris administration a grade. What do you think? Are they getting an A or a D or an F or a B? Let us know. Just coming up right after BBC here at KGMU.
At KGNU. Thank you for joining us. I have been your host, Rosanna Longo-Better, this morning. Stay tuned for Connections coming your way.